Imagine living in a world where politicians debate how many organs a woman must lose before receiving life-saving care. This isn't dystopian fiction. It's America after the fall of Roe v. Wade. Jessica Valenti's Abortion arrives as both battle cry and survival guide, cutting through decades of apologetic language to deliver a fundamental truth. Abortion isn't just healthcare. It's freedom. And contrary to anti-abortion rhetoric, abortion creates lives rather than ending them. Valenti's own daughter Lila wouldn't exist without the abortion that allowed Valenti to meet her future husband and build her family on her own terms. This perspective flips the script on those who ask what remarkable babies might have been born, never considering that women themselves might change the world if given the chance to determine their own reproductive futures. The facts speak volumes. 1 in 4 American women will have an abortion, 99% don't regret it, and most feel relief afterward. Any negative emotions typically stem from community stigma rather than the procedure itself. Both procedural and medication abortions are remarkably safe, safer than Tylenol or Viagra, with studies of over 124,000 medication abortions finding more than 99% of patients experienced no serious complications. The Turnaway study, which tracked 1,000 women over 5 years, revealed that women denied abortions face severe consequences: increased risk of staying with abusive partners, serious pregnancy complications, mental health issues, and poverty. Forced pregnancy quadruples the likelihood of living below the federal poverty line. Post-Roe, the crisis has worsened. Studies project a 21% rise in pregnancy-related deaths, 33% for Black women specifically. Real-world impacts are already evident. A Tennessee woman with a life-threatening ectopic pregnancy endured dangerous delays while hospital lawyers prepared legal protection, while Texas hospitals routinely deny care until patients reach critical condition. These deaths are preventable. States with restricted abortion access show 62% higher maternal mortality rates, triple the pregnancy-related deaths, and 30% higher infant mortality in the first month. Most casualties become anonymous statistics, never making headlines. Despite its portrayal as controversial, abortion rights enjoy overwhelming public support. The numbers are clear. 85% of voters support legal abortion in some or all circumstances, 70% favor legal abortion medication, and over 80% oppose government regulation of abortion decisions. This support extends across party lines. In Tennessee, 65% of Republicans want their state ban loosened, while most Florida Republicans support restoring abortion rights. Even among traditionally conservative groups, support is significant. Nearly 1/4 of white evangelicals voted for Ohio's abortion rights amendment. When asked about government involvement in pregnancy decisions, nearly 80% of Americans, including 58% of Republicans and 75% of Catholics, believe abortion should remain between patient and doctor. This widespread support reveals abortion bans as attacks on democracy itself. In Ohio, Secretary of State Frank LaRose admitted to crafting misleading ballot language with anti-abortion groups to thwart voters. Yet Ohio voters still passed Issue 1 decisively, prompting Rick Santorum's telling response: "Thank goodness that most of the states in this country don't allow you to put everything on the ballot, because pure democracies are not the way to run a country." In 2023, Senator McConnell sought to retire the term pro-life after polls linked it to extremism, signaling a major shift in abortion messaging. Republicans now face a dilemma: avoiding blame for medical tragedies while maintaining strict policies. Their response is to redefine abortion itself. Conservative leaders now claim it only means ending unwanted pregnancies, not treating ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, or life-threatening conditions. In Congress, prominent anti-abortion advocates argued that terminating a 10-year-old rape victim's pregnancy or treating an ectopic pregnancy would not be an abortion. This focus on intent divides women into two groups: those wanting pregnancy deserve care, while those rejecting motherhood face condemnation. The impact is severe. women with non-viable or dangerous pregnancies must endure traumatic procedures instead of safe abortions. Louisiana doctors report performing unnecessary C-sections on women with non-viable fetuses simply to avoid the appearance of providing abortions. While publicly denying plans to restrict contraception, Republicans are limiting access through insurance barriers, pharmacy refusals, and crisis pregnancy centers. In Georgia, Lindsay faced a $2,000 bill for an IUD when her insurance demanded proof of medical necessity, citing sanctity of life concerns. This approach targets accessibility rather than legality. When pharmacists refuse emergency contraception or insurers deny IUD coverage, birth control becomes effectively unavailable to many. Women report driving hours to find willing providers or paying steep out-of-pocket costs, with rural communities particularly vulnerable to access restrictions. Crisis pregnancy centers represent the largest financial push against contraception access. Post-Roe, Republican states have massively increased their funding. Tennessee from $3 million to $20 million, Florida from $4.5 million to $25 million, and Texas from $5 million to $100 million. While marketed as women's health resources, these centers cannot provide contraception and often spread misinformation about its safety, including false claims about infertility and cancer risks. When reporters investigated states with abortion bans claiming rape exceptions, including Mississippi, Texas, Idaho, and South Carolina, they couldn't find a single doctor willing to provide the procedure to sexual assault victims. These exceptions exist only in theory, rendered meaningless by design. The bureaucratic barriers are insurmountable. Mandatory police reporting, despite most victims never approaching law enforcement, narrow time windows of 8 to 12 weeks, despite trauma taking months to process, and requirements for multiple witness verifications. Some states force doctors to report victims' details to local authorities, effectively deterring them from seeking care. Similarly, health and life exceptions prove hollow. Hospitals routinely deny care until patients show severe complications like sepsis or organ failure. Doctors face losing their licenses or freedom if they intervene too early, yet risk patients' lives by waiting too long. These paper exceptions serve one purpose: political cover. With polls showing strong support for abortion access in cases of rape, 78%, health risks, 82%, and life threats, 84%, lawmakers can appear moderate while crafting exceptions too restrictive to actually use. Dr. George Tiller, the abortion provider murdered in 2009, wore a button reading "Trust Women," affirming that reproductive decisions belong to those carrying pregnancies. This message represents decades of struggle for reproductive autonomy. Post-Dobbs, advocates' warnings have become reality. Women face denials for miscarriage care, forced non-viable pregnancies, and dangerous delays in emergency treatment. There's no moderate position when women develop sepsis or when raped children are forced to give birth. The middle ground vanished when hysterectomies became the only legal option for ending life-threatening pregnancies. The vision isn't unlimited abortion, but comprehensive support throughout pregnancy, including healthcare access, paid family leave, affordable childcare, and freedom from government interference in medical decisions. Americans increasingly recognize that pregnancy's complexity defies legal mandates, with growing cross-partisan support for abortion rights. The future of reproductive freedom depends on our collective action, whether through supporting abortion funds, fighting misinformation, or voting for reproductive rights. Our bodies and freedoms hang in the balance.